Okay, Chevre, so first of all, thank you for coming to learn. Tonight's shiur is sponsored by Michael Cohn, Le'ilui Nishmas, in memory of his father, Rabbi Bert Cohn, Moshe Baruch ben Hechaver Tzvi Aaron HaKohen, whose yahrzeit was on Ches Sivan. Obviously, our learning tonight is dedicated to Le'ilui Nishmas. So, Michael, would you like to say like a few words briefly before we begin, or?
No, I appreciate you saying whatever you usually say. That's fine. Thank you very much.
Okay. So again, obviously, and what we've spoken about a few times is that the idea of a yahrzeit is that the mitzvahs that a child does help elevate the parents. We believe that there are different levels within Gan Eden, and davening for the Amud elevates a parent because everyone answers your Amen, Yehi Shmei Rabbah, etc. But when, as a community, we learn together, that also serves as an Ilei Neshama. And hopefully, this, together with all the mitzvahs that you and your family do, shall elevate the neshama of your father. Okay.
Amen.
So now, we did not learn last week. We learned 2 weeks ago. And for some weird reason, like when you miss a week, it's ki'ilu I don't remember like what we did. So this afternoon, I had to go back and actually re-listen to some of the last shiur that we gave just to remind myself of what we were up to, etc. So I did that. So I know what we got to, but I also realize that the fact that I didn't remember what we got to probably is indicative of the fact that I'm not the only one who didn't remember. Maybe everyone can benefit from just a little bit of a review to go back and get us into the Gemara again. So let's begin from the Mishnah, the top of Chaf Beis Amud Aleph that we have in front of us. The Mishnah tells us that a sukkah hameduvlelas, we should see losa merubah mechamosa kshera. If a sukkah is meduvlelas, and the Gemara will have to explain what this word meduvlelas means, or if the sukkah has more shade than sun, so such a sukkah is kosher. That's what it says in the Mishnah. Again, these are dinim, or at least the second din, the fact that if a sukkah is more shade than sun, that it's kosher. That's something that we know already, and the Gemara later on will address why we need to repeat that. Zot the Mishnah going onwards. Hamu'uva kimin bayis afal pi she'ena kochavim near in mitocha ksheira. If you have a sukkah whose roof, whose schach is as thick as a house, even though you cannot see the stars, it's going to be kosher. That's the halacha. People sometimes make a mistake. They think that you're only yotzei in a mitzvah if you can look up and see the stars through the sukkah, through the schach. That's not true. You're technically yotzei in a mitzvah even if it's a very thick schach, if it's sukkah ha'me'uba. There is a discussion in the Acharonim. Some of the poskim assume that it's only kosher b'diavad. That l'chatchila, the proper way to build a sukkah is that you can see the stars, which, okay, again, that makes sense. But our Mishnah is just telling us that l'maisa, it's kosher if it's a thick schach. So let's go back. So Mishnah says that sukkah meduvleles is okay. My meduvleles, what does that mean? So Rav says it means a sukkah aniyah. Rav says a sukkah meduvleles means a impoverished sukkah. An impoverished sukkah in the sense that is a very flimsy schach cover. The cover of schach is mamish, sparse. That's what Rav says. Miduvlelis is a lashon of dal, of poor. That's what it is according to Rav. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, Miduvlelis is kana ole. The kana yored. Shmuel says that sukkah meduvlelas means that there are two levels. You have schach on the lower level, you have schach on the higher level. Two levels of schach, and they are not connected. According to Shmuel, That's what sukkah meduvlelas is. That the sukkah is split up. It's a split level sukkah. It's kana ole kana yored. Rav tani chada. The Gemara says or Shmuel tani tarati. Rav has the Mishnah saying one statement, and according to Shmuel, the Mishnah is saying two statements. Rav tani chada. Sukkah meduvlelas. My meduvlelas. Midul delas shetzilasam ruba mechamosak shera. According to Rav, the Mishnah telling me one halacha. The one halacha is that a sukkah midul lelas or whatever it is, a poor impoverished sukkah is going to be kosher. One halacha, sukkah midul lelas, but tzilasam ruba mechamosak. It has to be that there is more shade than sun. In that case, the sukkah is going to be kosher. Shmuel Tanitarti. Shmuel says that the Mishnah is teaching me two halachas. My miduvlelas, mivulbelas. Right? Miduvlelas, according to Shmuel, means it's mivulbal. It's all mixed up. The sukkah is all different levels. It's all farmished. It's all mixed together. My miduvlelas, mivulbelas. Vitarti katani. And we're learning two things. Sukkah mivulbelas, kshera. Vitzilasim ruba mechamasa is also kshera. There are two separate halachas that the Mishnah is teaching me. Halacha number one is that if the sukkah is on two levels, it's kosher. Halacha number two is that a sukkah that has more shade than sun is also kosher. So b'kitzar ma'ase, the Mishnah has an expression sukkah meduv leles. We don't know exactly what it means. There are two possibilities. Either it means that the sukkah has a very sparse coating of stach, that's Rav. According to Shmuel, it means it's a dual level sukkah. But b'kitzar ma'aseh, whatever it is, the Mishnah says it's going to be kosher. Amar Abaye. And let's pick up from here. Amar Abaye. Lo shanu elo she'in bein zelo zeh shlosha tfachim. Aval yesh bein zelo zeh shlosha tfachim. Ksula. Abaye says, within Shmuel, and for the reason, because Abaye is speaking within Shmuel, almost all the Rishonim paskin like Shmuel, meaning, Shmuel says that sukkah miduvlelas means a two-level sukkah. Abaye says the only time it's going to be kosher is when the space between level one and level two is three tfachim or less. Three tfachim, of course, is the shear of Lavod. Three tefachim is the shear of Lavod. That connects it. Abaye says that this halacha, that a sukkah that is on two levels is going to be kosher, that's only if you do not have three tefachim between them. Amar Rava, but Rava disagrees. Afilu yesh bein zelazeh shlosha tefachim, nami lo amaren elo she'in Begagol tefach. Avo yesh begagol tefach kishera de aminon chavut rami. Rava tells me, even if you have more than three tfachim between the two levels of the schach, right, more than three tfachim, it's still going to be kosher. Why? Because, says Rava, a new principle, a principle that we have not learned yet in Maseches Sukkah, chavut rami. Chavut Rami is basically a halacha that we can drop a ceiling. We have various halachot Moshe Sinai's about sukkahs, right? We have good aches, good asik, that you could take the mechitza, go up, take the mechitza, go down. We have a halacha Moshe Sinai, dolphin akuma. If it's up to four amos of pasul schach near the side, it becomes a crooked wall, but still is going to be kosher. We have a whole bunch of halacha Moshe Misinais of sukkah. There's a new halacha Moshe Misinai that we're meeting on Daf Chaf Beis for the first time, which is called Chavut Rami. Chavut Rami means you can lower the ceiling. So therefore, comes along Rava, and Rava says, if you have more than three tfachim between level one and level two, it still is going to be kosher, says Rava. Why? Chavut, Rami. We throw the schach down, we connect the two schachs. Even if it's more than three tvachim, this halacha of chavut rami allows us to lower the schach. Rashi has an interesting comment, actually. Rashi says the chavut rami means, again, even if it's more than three tvachim over, zot Rashi, here, she'ein begago, bekana ola rochav tefach, delav shem ohalaylach shuvela mimbe chavut rami, hashpeo v'hashlech also. Chavut rami means you have to throw it down. Al ha'avir shetachtu, throw it down the air underneath it. Dahainu nami inyan good aches. Right, Rashi says the chavut rami is the same as good aches. Good aches is when I have a mechitza that's like hanging, that I drop it down. Chavut rami is the same principle. But instead of the mechitza being a wall that is a vertical, it's a horizontal schach type of wall. Chavut rami, you drop it down. But this halacha that Rava tells us, that Rava introduces us to, of chavut rami, that even if it's more than three tfachim between the lower level of the sukkah and the upper level of the sukkah, it's going to be kosher. This is only true if yesh begago tefach, if that upper level is a tefach. If there's a tefach on that upper level, right, then I could drop it. But if the upper level is not a tefach, I cannot drop it. And that's because a tefach is considered to be the primordial mechitza. The most basic level mechitza in Judaism is one tefach. Therefore, if you have one tefach, you're allowed to drop it. That's the halacha. Less than a tefach, I can't. We paskin like Rava in Shulchan Aruch, which means that we have a principle of chavut rami, and this is a principle that as we go on tonight, we'll develop more. But again, just to kind of bang it in, chavut rami means I have two levels of schach, upper schach and lower schach. If it's within three tefachim, of course, it's okay. But I apply chavut rami if there is more than three tefachim between upper schach and lower schach. I apply chavut rami providing that it's a tefach. If the upper schach is one tefach, then the halacha allows me to drop it. Amar Rava. Mina amin lo, dechi isbe tefach, aminan chavut rami. V'chi lesbe lo aminon chavut rami. Rebbe says, what's my source? Mina aminola. How do I know that if you have a tefach, we say chavut rami? If you don't have a tefach, we do not say chavut rami. Rebbe asks, what's my source? Ditnan. He says, my source is, and I'm sure you were all thinking about this, it's a mishnah in the 12th parak of Ahalos. That's a source. Mishnah in the 12th parak of Ahalos. Ditnan. Koros habayis va'aliyo she'ein aleihem ma'azeva v'hein mechuvanos. Yeah, we should probably draw some. Problem is, whenever I draw a picture, I kind of lose it. We're going to try this again. So I have as follows. I have a house. The house has a ceiling, and there is a roof on top of the ceiling. No? Many homes, I guess, have something like that. You have a roof and a ceiling. Now, if the ceiling is directly on top of the roof, that is the first case that we'll learn. That is koros habayis, sheyesh al gabav, etc. So I have, in that case, one right on top of the other. There's another case that we'll learn where they are not right, one right on top of the other. Instead, the upper level is opposite some blank, empty space. Those are the two different cases. Now we're going to try to go back to the Gemara. Oh. Try to go back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Rava tells me, Amar Rava, from you see the top line that I'm sharing, Amar Rava, Minah Amin Allah. How do I know? Dechi isbe tefach Amin Chavut Rami. Dechi lesbe lo Amin Chavut Rami. How do you know that when you have one tefach, then you drop the ceiling? If you don't have one tefach, then you don't drop the ceiling. How do I know that? Titznan. Because I learned a Mishnah. The Mishnah, 12th parak of Bahalos. Koros habayis va'aliyah she'ein aleihem ma'azeva. I'm talking about the beams of a home or the beams of an attic, and there is no ma'azeva. A ma'azeva is like the pitch. It's like the tar that you put on top of the beams to make a roof. Pardon me. You have to remember that in their times, roofs were flat. A roof was not a roof was flat. It was not a triangular roof like we have today. So I have koros habayis, and right, I have the beams of the home, and on top of the beams of the home, I have a ceiling, and they are one right on top of the other. V'hein mechuvanot. They are right on top of the other. So the halacha is tuma tachas achas mehen, tachteha tomei. We have tuma underneath one of them, then that area underneath it is tomei. Bein tachtona le'oyona, bein nehem tomei. If the tuma is between the upper one and the middle one, then it is tomei in between. Al gabei ha'oyona, if it's on top of the upper one, kenegda amravakiya tomei. If it's on top of the upper one, so then it's tameh all the way up. Hayu ha'elyonos kebein ha'tachtonos. But if the upper thing is between the lower ones, tuma tachtehen tachas kulan tameh. If the tuma is underneath it, then the area underneath all of them is tameh. Agabehen kenegdan anrakia tameh. If it's on top of it, then it's tameh until it goes ad larakia. These are some of the halachas that we learned. Now, let's just try to go back to drawing a picture over here to do the best that we can. And, I don't know why I always have a hard time doing this. It's like, okay. Can you still see anything, Chevra?
Yeah, the Gemara.
You can see the Gemara. Yeah, that's good. I don't know why. Here, I'm going to go like this. Get out of the Gemara. Okay, so here's the story, right? We saw that if I have the beams, so there are two cases. One case of the beams is that the beams are one on top of the other. The other case of the beams is that the beams are not one on top of the other, but the upper level of beams is corresponding to the empty space between the lower levels. It's almost like if you look in the Sefer Torah, the way Oz Yashir is written. That's what it is. Now, here's the thing. In this case, right, if the beams are one opposite the other, so if there's tuma underneath this bottom one, so everything underneath it is tummy. There's tuma between them, everything between them is tummy. Tuma on top, so the tuma goes all the way up to the heavens, and that's fine. That's the normal case. However, there's the bottom case that we just drew, which is that the upper level is in the airspace between the two lower ones. In this case, the Mishnah says that if this upper one is one tefach, the thing that I just circled, if it's one tefach, so in that case, what we do is we drop the upper one, and it makes this entire area like it is a single entity. So if Tumah is over here, this entire area becomes Tumah. Tumah is over here, the entire area becomes Tumah.
How much do we have to drop it?
The Chavut Rami is this principle that we drop. The Halacha allows us to use our halachic imagination.
No, I understand that, but what I'm saying is, I'm asking how much do we have to drop it?
As long as it drops until the other roof space. You drop it to even out the roof spaces.
Okay.
That's Chavut Rami. You drop it as much as you can.
Okay.
But the idea is that in that Mishnah on Aholos, I see that I apply the principle of Chavut Rami in a case where I apply the principle of Chavut Rami in a case where I, what's it called? In a case where I have the Tumah on top. And then Chavut Rami allows me to drop to make it all like it is. I'm like not speaking English. Chavut Rami tells me that what I do is I drop the ceiling, and that makes it like the entire area is all one entity, and the Tumah under one area goes and spreads throughout the entire thing. That's the principle of Chavut Rami. Now, for our purposes, we're going to go back to the Gemara now. You can't see the Gemara, can you?
No.
Okay, so we're going to try to go back. Oh, yeah. So Zok the Gemara. Right, Rava tells me, Amar Rava, that I know this principle of Chavut Rami from the case of Tumah. By the case of Tumah, the halacha says that when I have the beams, Koros Habayis V'Aliyah She'en Aleihem Azeva, we're talking about just beams. There's no pitch on the top. If there's pitch on the top, then everything is connected anyway. But I'm talking about beams, beams of a house, beams of an attic. They are Mechuvanot. One is opposite the other. So if there's Tumah underneath one of them, right, so the area underneath it is Tumah. Bein ha-tachton la-elyon, if there's Tumah between level one and level two, so then that middle level is Tumah. Al-gabe ha-elyona, so kenegda ad-larakiyah is Tumah. Right, if it's on top of the upper level, so then as long as it goes shooting all the way up larakiyah, goes all the way up to the heavens, it's going to be Tumah. But, and again, we're just now explaining the way we read the Gemara, ha-yu ha-elyonos, we just explained the pictures that we drew before. Ha'ayonos kibena tachtonos. If the upper ones are in that space between the lower levels, tuma tachtein tachas kulan tamei. The tuma underneath it means underneath the whole thing is tamei. Al gabei, if it's on top, so an adnoike is tamei. Vitoni Allah. And the Brisa says, v'amid v'amurim b'sman sheyesh bahen tefach u'beinehem poseach tefach. Right, this is true only the Braisa, meaning the Tosefta. Right, remember the Tosefta are those sources in Tanoim that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi decided, for whatever the reason, not to incorporate a Mishnayis. But often the Tosefta explains the text of the Mishnah. V'toni Allah, the Braisa, the Tosefta says, "Bamed v'amurim b'sman sheyesh ben tefach u'beinehem poseach tefach." This is only true when it is a tefach. Aval, ein b'nein tefach, but if you don't have a tefach between them, tuma tachas achas mehen, tachteha tamei, b'nein v'agabein tohar. Right? The Tosefta writes that this is only true. This halacha that I drop the ceiling is only true when it's a tefach. But if it's not a tefach, so then only the area that the tuma is underneath, only that is tamei. Alma, Rav says, we see from here, ki ispe tefach amrinon chavut rami, v'chi lespe tefach lo amrinon chavut rami shmamina. I see from here that I apply the principle of chavut rami only if there is a tefach. If there is no tefach, I do not apply the principle of chavut rami. So let's just summarize what we've done so far. Rava proves from a halacha of tumah, that we have a principle of chavut rami, which allows me to drop the ceiling. Just like I drop the ceiling for tumah purposes, also for schach purposes, I drop the ceiling. That is what Rava says. And this is the basic halacha in Judaism. It's relatively straightforward. Now, as we mentioned a number of times, Judaism is a beautiful religion, and then the Rambam is born. No? Can you see like my Bar Ilan page over here?
Yes. Oh, I see an online responsive project, Bar Ilan.
That's very good, because I'm going to now show you a Rambam. Ah. So the Rambam writes, I would show you a Rambam if my Bar Ilan would be cooperative. Okay. It's not cooperating, so we're going to skip it. We'll skip looking at it inside. You could see the Gemara page again, right?
Uh-huh.
So the Rambam has an interesting statement. The Rambam tells me that I only apply the principle of chavut rami if the upper level is directly on top of the gap in the lower level. And not only is it directly on top of the gap in the lower level, but it is not any larger or any smaller than the gap in the lower level. According to the Rambam, the principle of chavut rami only can be applied if the levels are exactly the same size. If it's not exactly the same size, I cannot apply the principle of chavut rami. Okay, so let's just imagine if I have a gap of 2 feet between part A and part B. I have a 2-foot gap. So the upper level has to be 2 feet, Zok the Rambam, and not only 2 feet, it has to be exactly 2 feet. Again, I'm understanding the Rambam the way the Kesef Mishnah says it. It has to be not just 2 feet, but exactly 2 feet. If it is any more than 2 feet or any less than 2 feet, we cannot apply the principle of chavut rami. And in the Shulchan Aruch, we actually paskin like that Rambam. I just don't know why my Bar Ilan is not working for me. In the Shulchan Aruch, we actually paskin like that Rambam, the Mechaber paskins, that I only apply chavut rami if it's exactly the same size. The Ramah, however, writes that as long as the upper level is in the airspace of the blank between the two levels, then I do say chavut rami. This is the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Sukkah, right? Meaning to say that according to the Mechaber, according to Rabbi Yosef Karo, this rule of chavut rami is really going to be exceedingly rare. I can only apply the principle of dropping the ceiling if it ends up being exactly the same size as the blank space between them. If it's not exactly the same size, the Shulchan Aruch says, I cannot drop the ceiling. That's the halacha. The Ramah says, no, as long as it's in the middle airspace, you can drop the ceiling. It doesn't have to be the same size. Now, this issue, like we noted, Chavut Rami comes up in Sukkah. But the Gemara compares the Chavutz Rami, I'm sorry, the Gemara compares the Chavutz Rami by Sukkah to the Chavutz Rami by by Tumah. In Hilchos Tumah, this is like one of the things that comes up in Washington Heights sometimes. Actually, this past week, Mr. Spears Levaya was in Mount Sinai. So Rabbi Taubes asked me, what do I think about having Kohanim stand on the front steps of Mount Sinai when the Aron is inside the building? Aron was inside the social hall of Mount Sinai. That's where the Levaya was. What do I think about Kohanim being on those front steps? So if you remember the construction of Mount Sinai well, there is an overhang on the steps. Now, the way Mount Sinai goes is like you try to enter the main level. So on the right side, you have like a little ramp, and then there's like a few steps up. And on top of those steps is an overhang. That overhang is on top of the steps, but it hangs over the building. Am I being clear? Do people know what I'm talking about? The overhang hangs over the building. No, we're going to try to just clear out over here and start this again because I am having difficulty sharing stuff. We're going to try to draw the picture one more time. One more time with gusto. Ah. So here. It goes like this. If this is Mount Sinai, right, this is the shul, and there are some steps, right, to get into the shul, and there's a little overhang on top of those steps. It's not the same ceiling as the building, right? The funeral is going to be over here, right? Inside the building is the funeral. The mace is over there where that X is. But I have a roof on top of a roof. Right? Next time you pass by Mount Sinai, for most of us on this call, it's not that far away. But next time you pass by, you'll notice there's like a ceiling on top of the steps, which overhangs on top of the ceiling of the building. It's not exactly the ceiling of the building. It's the ceiling of the building, and there's another little ceiling, and this is on top of that ceiling. In Shulchan Aruch, it says that this is a problem for a Kohen. Right? The shir tonight is dedicated in memory of Mr. Cohen's father. So Tumas Kohanim is a relevant issue. Shulchan Aruch says that as a Kohen, you cannot be on the steps when there is a nifter in here. Because the principle of Chavut Rami that we just learned says that we drop the ceiling. So the ceiling on top of the steps is going to be dropped to make it one contiguous ceiling with the building. And therefore, the Tumah in the building will penetrate and go onto the steps. And therefore, a Kohen cannot be on those steps. That's what Shulchan Aruch paskins. That's the rule of Chavut Rami. And the rule of Chavut Rami, again, we saw in our Gemara, it applies to Tumah and it applies to Sukkah. Well, here's the problem. The Rambam paskined, they only say Chavut Rami by Sukkah if I have a 2-foot gap and the thing on top is exactly 2 feet. Right? This is the only time I'll say Chavut Rami. But if this thing on top is 2.5, if it hangs over a little bit, so the Rambam says you do not say Chavut Rami. The Rambam probably understands, Rav Soloveitchik has in his Shiurim, that Chavut Rami is a stima. It's there to fill it in. And you don't fill something in if there's an overhang. So according to the Rambam, this will not work, because that top one, as you can see from my beautiful artwork, is 2.5, and this won't work. Well, if that's the case, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach asks, how come in Shulchan Aruch, In Yeridaya, on the halachas of Tumas Kohanim, it says beferish that if you have a mace in one building and you have an overhang on top of that building, right, this is building A. Let's say this is Mount Sinai, where you have the Levaya on, when was it? On Wednesday. This is the shul building. And this is the front steps with that overhang. Shulchan says this is a problem. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, why is it a problem? Right? The rule of Chafutz Rami is only when it fits in exactly in that area. But if it's any more or any less, then the rule of Chafutz Rami does not apply at all. That's a caution. That's Rav Shlomo Zalman's caution. Not only did Rav Shlomo Zalman ask this caution, there's a very lengthy essay that Reb Chaim Soloveitchik has in his Sefer, which Eschata'ayani Mazkir Hayom, today when I sat down to prepare the shir, I'm like, this is too big. I'm not reading this. Reb Chaim is very dense and hard to read anyway. I'm like, this is just too much for me. I didn't read the Reb Chaim, but Reb Chaim deals with, and what's his name? Reb Chaim and Reb Shlomo Zalman deal with this question about how come Shulchan Aruch with respect to Tum'ah says Chavut Rami and does not tell me that we only apply the principle when it's an exact fit, when the Lego piece or the puzzle piece fits right in there. That's by Hilchas Tum'ah. That's exactly right. Hilchas Sukkah says we only apply Chavut Rami when the puzzle piece fits exactly. But in Hilchas Tum'ah, we don't say that. So Shlomo Zalman is bothered by this kasha. And Rav Shlomo Zalman says, well, maybe Chavut Rami by Tumah works differently than it works by Sukkah. Reb Chaim suggests that, but that's very hard because our Gemara says it's all the same. And when all is said and done, we're just not exactly sure how to do it. Comes along with Five Kohen. Five Kohen is a posek he was in Flatbush for many years. Now he lives in Lakewood. He wrote a sefer called Badei HaShulchan, which is like a very popular sefer that people use when they learn Yerideya. It's mamish a very popular sefer about the Ashulchan. So Reb Chaim Cohen suggests that he doesn't think it's such a kasha at all. He says, you know what? We pointed out that according to the Mechaber paskins, Reb Yosef Karo, the Sfaradi Shulchan Aruch paskins, straight like the Rambam, that I only say Chavut Rami when it is an exact fit, when the puzzle piece fits in perfectly well. But if the puzzle piece doesn't fit in perfectly well, Sfaradim will not say Chavutz Rami. However, the Ashkenazim disagree. Ashkenazim disagree with that, Yisrael. And Ashkenazim say that I apply Chavutz Rami even when it is not a direct, even when it's not a perfect fit. So says Reb Chaim Cohen, it's actually a nice idea, and I would show it to you if my Bar Ilan would be working. He says, in Huchos Avelos, in the Dinam of Tumas Kohanim, when we speak about what's it called? So over there, what we are saying is that according to the Mechaber, there's no such thing as Chavut Rami. The Mechaber in Huchos Tumas Kohanim does not quote this halacha at all of dropping the ceiling. The Ramah quotes the halacha. And the Ramah does not say anything about how the puzzle piece has to fit exactly. That's why for Hilchos Tumah, we paskin Chavut Rami, and the ceiling over the ceiling creates a problem for Kohanim, even though it's not an exact puzzle piece that fits in. This is, I think, a way of looking at the sugya. Again, conceptually, this question as to whether I say Chavut Rami only when the puzzle piece fits in exactly or not, it's two opinions in the Ritva. It's a big machlokas harishonim. We said that the Rambam says we only say Chavut Rami when the puzzle piece fits in exactly. The Ramon Shulchan Aruch disagrees. This probably relates to whether Chavut Rami is a halacha l'moshe Mi-Sinai that is similar to good achis or good asik? Is it just like a rule of mechitza that we elevate mechitza, we lower mechitza, just connect stuff? Or is Chavut Rami more of a halacha of lavud, of stima, of locking it into place, of filling it in? Raising a mechitza, the mechitza doesn't have to touch the schach. I raise it, That's a little bit beneath the schach. That's okay. Lavud, the standard explanation is, means you connect it. It's stima. If it's a halacha of stima, this is the point that Rav Soloveitchik made in his shiurim, it's a halacha of stima, so then the Rambam might make sense. Because if it's a halacha of stima, you could say if it's not an exact fit of the puzzle piece, maybe we can't fill it in. But if it's a halacha not of stima, if it's a halacha not of filling it in, but it's a halacha of just taking the mechitza, raising it, etc., so then it would apply even if it's not a direct fit. What we saw is that according to Rashi, right, if you look at Rashi by the Chavut Rami, Sugya, I think we read this Rashi earlier, yeah, this Rashi, She'en Begagai, scrolled up to the top of the page, right? Rashi says, Dahainu nami inyan good achis, ela inyan mechitza, that the chudasha mechitza, we could say good achis, but by, if it's horizontal, I use the term chavut rami. The term chavut rami, according to Rashi, is the same exact thing as good achis mechitza. If that's the case, it's not necessarily a stima, it's not filling it in. However, the Rabbeinu Hananel has an expression where he says that good achis is a halacha like lavud. If it's a halacha like lavud, so then it should really only be true if it mamish fills the whole thing in, if it fills the whole thing in, like we said from the Rambam. So these are the first points I wanted to make about this halacha of Chavot Rami. Any questions on this point, or should we go on?
The only question I have is, like, what is the difference if you have one schach on top of the other and not of break in between? How does it differ from sukkah, agabe sukkah? In other words...
So again, so sukkah agave sukkah is when the two schachs are one right on top of the other. Then there's a problem. Our Gemara, when it said that there are two things right on top of the other, our Gemara was speaking about tuma. It wasn't speaking about sukkah. In our Gemara, when we say it works in a case where the upper level schach is in that between space. It's in that tiny space. That what's it called? Between those schach, so therefore it's not a sukkah gabi sukkah. And after I say chavut rami, according to, I'm not sure, maybe this is what you're asking, Joseph, but according to those you're showing, I say chavut rami, even when there's overhang, it's not a sukkah gabi sukkah because I drop the upper sukkah, now I just have thick schach. Right? We saw that schach could be 2 inches thick or 20 inches thick. So if I drop the ceiling and now I have... right, a very thick level of schach, because the halacha just dropped the ceiling. Does that satisfy you?
Yes, it's something just I want to keep in mind, but yes.
Okay, excellent. Oh, weiter. So the Gemara basically developed a principle of chavut rami. We developed this principle from tum'ah, that if it is one tefach, so we can drop the ceiling. We developed this principle from Tuma, and that's why we don't fully understand why Shulchan Aruch has all these rules and regulations in Hilchos Sukkah about Chavot Rami, when Hilchos Tuma doesn't have the rules and regulations, and that's what we discussed a few moments ago, that it would seem like it's the same halacha in both areas. The Gemara continues, Yosef Rav Kahana, it's like the top line that I have showing on the page. Yosef Rav Kahana b'ka'amar lo hashmaitza. Rav Kahana is sitting, and he's repeating this sugya. Apparently he's saying a shir, and he's teaching the halachos of Chavut Rami. Amar le Rav Ashi le Rav Kahana, v'cholhecha d'les beit hefach lo aminan Chavut Rami. Right? So Rav Ashi says, Rebbe, Rav Kahana, are you telling me that whenever there is no tefach, whenever the upper ceiling is not a tefach wide, we do not say chavut rami. V'hatanya, by learning the brisa, kora hayot mikotel ze ve'ena noga'as mikotel ze. If you remember, the halacha of Eruv is, we've spoken about this many, many times, and Eruv is not really the string around the community. It's really a box of matzah in a home or wherever that everyone can partake in. But you also need something that's a tikkun, something that fixes the community, something that makes the entire community like a rishus hayachid, like a private area. For us, we have tzuris ha-pesach. We have a post and a post with a string on top. That's how we do it. However, in the times that people lived in courtyards, what they would have is a courtyard. A courtyard, by definition, means that there's a few homes that open into a common area. On some level, it's quite similar to our apartment buildings. A couple of homes, apartments, open to a hallway. And the halacha was that you would need a korah. You would need we had this on Daf Beis in Sukkah. You would need like a vertical, you would need a horizontal beam on top of the courtyard. And that horizontal beam would enable people to carry on Shabbos. That's a korah. Well, the korah is supposed to be one beam that goes all the way across. And the beam has to be strong enough to hold a brick. That's the halacha. The beam has to, it can't be really flimsy, has to be strong enough to hold a brick. Again, this is not true for our Erevin. Our Erevin are not using Korah at all. Our Erevin are using Tzuris HaPesach, are using an imitation door frame. An imitation door frame, the halacha says, does not have to be particularly strong. It doesn't have to be able to hold a brick. But the korah has to hold a brick. So we have this case in Erevin. Korah hayotze mikotel ze ve'ena nogat mikotel ze. I have a beam that goes from one wall. Here's one wall, and the beam goes out from one side, but it does not reach the other wall. V'chein shtei korot. Or if I have two beams, achas yotze mikotel ze, the achas yotza mikoto zeh, one goes from one wall, the other goes from the other walls, the einan nogos zubazu, and they don't touch each other. Pachos mishlosha einan tzarch lahavi karecheres. Shlosha tzarch lahavi karecheres. If you have a gap of less than three tfachim, so then the principle of lavud connects it. You don't have to make a new korah. You don't need a new beam. But if it is more than three tefachim, you need a new beam. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, Reb Shimon Gamliel disagrees. He says, Shimon Gamliel says, Pachos me arba'a in tzarech lahavi korah acheret, arba'a tzarech lahavi korah acheret. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel denies, Reb Shimon Gamliel denies that halacha that lavud is three tefachim. He says lavud is four tefachim. Okay, whenever the Gemara has a principle of lavud and says three tefachim, Mishim Gamliel takes his pen, crosses it out, says not three, but four. Okay, fine. V'chein, shtei kores hamas imos, lo bezu kadei l'kaba riach, v'lo bezu kadei l'kaba riach, you have two beams that are next to each other. Neither of them are strong enough to hold a brick. In mekablos ariach l'rochbo, tefach ein tzarech lahavi korah acheres. Im lav, tzarech lahavi korah acheres. If they can hold a brick width-wise, it's considered strong enough. If not, then you need a new beam. Reb Shimon Gamliel is lenient. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, im mekablos ariach l'orko shlosh tefachim ein tzarech lahavi korah acheres. Im lav, tzarech lahavi korah acheres. Basically, if I have two beams next to each other, so the halacha is that the beam has to hold a brick, has to be strong enough to hold the brick. Well, let's say each of those beams is not strong enough to hold the brick. Can the two beams together become strong enough to hold the brick? So that's a discussion over here. The Tanakhama says it has to be strong enough to hold the brick width-wise. Rishim Gamliel says it has to be strong enough to hold the brick, or in other words, the combination of these two beams have to be strong enough to hold the brick, a brick lengthwise. If you hold the brick lengthwise, so you have more surface area, because you have more surface area, so therefore it is it's easier to hold the brick lengthwise than widthwise, because there's more surface area, it's less likely that it'll come crashing down. So far, so good. Hayu achas lamala v'achas lamata. Let's say I have two beams, an upper beam and a lower beam. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says, run ho yona ki ilohi lamata, v'satachtona ki ilohi lamayla. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says, drop the beam. You have two beams, an upper beam and a lower beam. Ruan ha'oyona kiluhi lamata. You take that upper beam and you view it like it's down below. You take the lower beam and view it like it's up on top. Ubuvaj lo teheo yona lamala me esrimama vatachton lamata me asarit vachem. Ha! Zevazet betoch esrimamion chavut rami. Afogab de les bay tefach. Basically, what the Gemara says is, and we'll draw a picture in a minute. I just want to finish the Gemara. Rav Kahana made the statement. Rav Kahana said the halacha that we learned, that I say chavut rami, I drop a ceiling only when it's a tefach. So his student, Rav Ashi, is sitting there, and Rav Ashi raises his hand. He's like, Rebbe, excuse me, but remember Eruv and Daf Yud Daled? When I have those koras, I have those horizontal beams which are there to permit carrying in the courtyard, and if I have an upper one and a lower one, so then I drop it even though it's not a tefach. That's Ravashi's question, right? Very long question for like a little guy, right? Ravashi, hey dude, you hit a home run. That's a great kasha. So the Gemara says, Amar Lei, so Rav Kahana responded, Taritz ve'imahachi. Rav Kahana responded, you have to explain this braisa. You have to answer the braisa, and we'll say the pshat is as follows: Obovad shelote oyona lamalam meesrim ella betoch esrim betachtona smuchala bepachos mishlosha inami obovad shelote tachtona lamata measare lamalam measare vayona smuchala pachos mishlosha avashlosha ken les betefach lo aminan chavot rami. Rav Kahana answers that the case by the korah, the case by those beams, you have to say that the two beams are within three tfachim of the other one. And that's why I apply the rule of connecting the beams. But I would not apply the rule of chavut rami, because that rule of chavut rami cannot be said unless it is a full tefach. And the case there in the case there in Erevin, it is not a full tefach. Just to, I think that sometimes drawing these pictures makes it easier, but I'm a little bit biased. Let's clear the picture and we'll try to do it like this. I have a chatzer. This is my courtyard. Right, so there's a few homes that open into the courtyard. Right, that's a standard courtyard. People do their stuff over here. You need a korah. You need a beam on the top that closes off or that seals up the courtyard. It's a beam hanging up high up, and that seals off the courtyard. That's the classical case of the korah. However, our Gemara deals with, let's say I have not one korah, but I have a korah that goes from this wall and a korah that goes from this wall. So we have these halachas, it depends. If you have three tefachim between them, or you don't have three tefachim between them, that's all grand. Then, we have another case. This is already, I have two korahs, two beams. Each of them is not so strong. It has to be strong enough to hold a brick. Each of them is not strong enough to hold a brick. But the halacha says, I drop it. I say, oh, we'll view it like the two are together. And if the two are together, then it is strong enough to hold a brick. That sounds very similar to our principle of chavut rami. But 1 second, Rav Ashi asks, hey, Rav Kahana, how can you say Chavut Rami? This is not a Tefach, right? This is less than a Tefach. And we just learned that we only say Chavut Rami when it's a full Tefach. That's the question. So to answer this question, Rav Kahana says, Rav Ashi, you misunderstood the case. When we say that if you have two beams, that you can connect them, that's talking about the two beams are within three tefach of each other. If you remember at the beginning of the Gemara, when we learned the halacha of sukkah meduvlelet, a sukkah that's achas lamayla, achas lamata, you have two schachs, one on top and one below. That's sukkah meduvlelet. So what we said over there was it's going to be kosher, according to Shmuel. But there's a dispute. Abaye says it's kosher only if it's within three tefachim. Rava says it's kosher even if it's not within three tefachim, providing it is one tefach, providing the upper board is a full tefach, and then we apply the rule of chafutz rami of dropping it. That's what Rava said. This rule of chavut rami is only if it's a tefach. Sigma asked why, what's it called? But we see by the case of the korah, by the case of the beam that permits me to carry on Shabbos, that we drop it, even though it's not a tefach. So the answer is, yeah, over there you could drop it because it's really within three, and that's the regular rule of lavud that we have encountered a bazillion and three times. Okay, any other questions, comments? I'm not sure if I'm trying to be clear. I'm trying to explain it to the best of my ability. Okay. So Chevra, thank you for coming to learn again. Our learning tonight's Le'ilei Nishmas, Michael Cohen's father, Moshe Baruch ben Hochaver Tzvi Aaron HaKohen. And thank you all for coming and learning. And Emir Tashem, we will resume learning next week. I would like to have a conversation again among Shir members about possibly bringing the Shir back to in-person learning on Shabbos. I think now that our world has Baruch Hashem somewhat opened up, it's easier to attract new Shir members when it's in person. People come by and they see others learning, and I think we are pretty much at a time that it's safe enough to have a shiur in person. So I'd like to resume that conversation once more. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Have a good night. All the best.
Thank you.